The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
How long will the current reality continue? Will any significant percentage of the population open their eyes in time to see what's unfolding around us all? Will a significant percentage of the masses decide they have a responsibility to help alter the current suicidal direction of the human race? This is Dane Wigington with Geoengineering Watch Radio, with a weekly edition of Global Alert News. This is a commercial-free news hour program. The show is broadcast on KQMS throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Recordings of this show can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections and at the KQMS archives. The show is also rebroadcast on the East Coast on the PRN radio network. As always, I like to make an announcement at the beginning for those in the Shasta-Redding area. Free DVDs, extremely important instructional, fact-filled DVDs on the dangers posed by vaccinations filled with neurotoxins, are available at Orchard Nutrition. If you use and pick up one of those DVDs, I simply ask, please put it to use. We try to offer those for free to the ability that we can. There's also information there on 9/11 from 2,700 architects and engineers, some of the top people on the planet, that are trying to wake populations up to the fact that the official narrative on 9/11 and how those buildings collapse is scientifically completely impossible. There are also free DVDs on climate engineering and the massive dangers posed by it. Covert illegal climate engineering that's going on all over the globe, the reasons why, the people behind it, the threats it poses, those are available at Orchard Nutrition in Redding while supplies last, while we can afford to do so. Again, we're trying to do what we can. But public support is helpful for keeping this sort of effort going. I want to announce also on February 4th, Saturday, February 4th, at the Redding Library from 3:30 to 5:30, we'll be showing another educational film on fluoride titled Fluoride Poison on Tap. That's a free film. We'll have the same information I just outlined available there also for free for anyone who can attend. If you don't know or understand the dangers of fluoride and you believe the official narrative that it's harmless and benign, you will be in for a shocking awakening with the data presented in this film. It will alter your perception of the world. Again, starting at 3:30, Redding Library, Shasta County in Redding, California. I will be there for a question and answer period when the film is over. And we will try to address the concerns that any individual who watches that film will have. Legal update on the effort to legally expose the ongoing global climate engineering insanity. A great deal has happened in recent months of trying to maneuver and arrange or approach some big breakthroughs, I think, even as of yesterday morning. I will make more announcements on next week's show because I'll have solid data to back that up. But there are new attorneys entering the situation, and we are moving forward as quickly as we can with a very difficult situation that we want to get right. So the efforts are ongoing. For those that ask about that, it's not that I'm ignoring your questions, but I'm simply, we're in a state of flux and making very big moves now that have great significance. Stand by. I will make more announcements next Saturday. But that being said, make no mistake about it. The bottom line, even with the legal efforts, is to force public awareness of the climate engineering issue. And that effort will take all of us, no matter what. No matter what legal efforts we are successful at, the bottom line is public awareness, a critical mass of awareness, so that those people participating in these programs, their families, their relatives, understand what they're participating in, so that media people, journalists that are behaving as absolute criminals, journalists and media sources like we have right here in Shasta County, California, the Record Searchlight, that refuses to print any facts relating to climate engineering unless those are disinformation facts or disinformation narratives, I should say, from the official sources that they recognize. And to reiterate, what did the Record Searchlight publish? They published a false disinformation survey addressing, quote, chemtrails, which are not real, which are not a scientific anything. And when those same 77 scientists who said chemtrails weren't real were also surveyed, along with 1,430 more scientists, surveyed all their names, all their contacts, published by our legal team, 1,500 scientists in total, including the 77 that stated that, quote, chemtrails weren't real, none of those 1,500 scientists, including those 77, were willing to state on the record that climate engineering isn't already happening. Not one of 1,500. Did the Record Searchlight or KRCR or local media publish that? Absolutely not, because they know it's a bad career decision. So the journalists in our town and all over the country and many all over the globe are behaving as absolute paid criminal disinformation tyrants at the expense of populations, their health. This also plugs into the vaccination issue. And if we can bring these issues to light, those journalists, those media sources should be held as criminal accomplices to the crimes they helped to cover up. We'll get to that point. We'll get to a very honorable journalist that has just passed away under suspicious circumstances. I'll get to that later in this program. With Martin Luther King having just passed, how timely was his insight? A few quotes from Martin Luther King, one of the most exceptional human beings to ever walk the face of this earth. Quote, a nation that continues year after year to spend more money on the military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. Second quote from Dr. King. I could never again raise my voice against the violence of the oppressed in the ghettos without having first spoken clearly to the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, my own government. Exactly what he said then is more true today than ever. I'll get to more facts on that later in this program. Also facts about what it means to be quote-unquote patriotic, and that does not mean blind obedience to a completely out-of-control power structure. That's not patriotism, that's tyranny. Another quote by Dr. King, if we do not act, we shall surely be dragged down the long, dark, and shameful corridors of time reserved for those who possess power without compassion, might without morality, and strength without sight. What a profound quote from Dr. King, something we should all remember. And all of us have mental filters, ideologies, preconceptions, biases. As a species, can we overcome such burdens in time to unite and alter the current course of certain near-term self-destruction? That's a question. On that note, here's a headline about Mr. Obama. Obama's legacy, war without end. Exactly what Dr. King described. From that report, in a speech to U.S. troops last month, he, Obama, denounced the quote, false promise that we can eliminate terrorism by dropping more bombs, and piously proclaimed that democracy should not operate in a state of permanent authorized war. But do Obama's actions back up that statement? Continuing from this report, an audacious statement given that it is Obama himself who made perpetual warfare the new normal, and also Obama who made the presidential post the ultimate decider in matters of war and peace, where George W. Bush secured congressional authorization for the two major wars on lies, by the way. Bush secured those authorizations on complete lies. I'll cover more of that in this story or in this broadcast. Obama has launched two undeclared wars in Libya and against ISIS, even though we have spawned, fueled, and funded ISIS, as I've covered in so many shows before. Obama ordered 10 times as many drone strikes as his predecessor. Many innocent civilians killed, by the way. And this summer bombed 6 different countries over Labor Day weekend alone. Think about that. Obama, who won the Nobel Peace Prize, 6 different countries bombed over Labor Day weekend alone, and it is Obama who is largely responsible for warping the 2001 Authorization for Use of Military Force Act passed 3 days after 9/11 to target al-Qaeda and the Taliban into an enabling act for endless war. That's what Obama has morphed that into. Anywhere in the world. Endless war anywhere in the world. That's what the military-industrial complex does. That's what Obama's about. That's what Bush was about. That's what Clinton was about. That's what Bush 1 was about. That's what the backbone structure of the military-industrial complex is about. Another headline, Obama expands NSA spying. Does anyone who is even slightly awake not clearly see that our government is at this point nothing more than an unimaginably massive criminal cabal that's lying to us on every level? And with the media and those in power control, they are carrying out endless lists of lies and propaganda. And the constant disinformation and demonization of any country or individual that does not conform to the demands of the empire. That's what's happening right now. And how many individuals do each and every one of us know that are in one way or another, whether actively or passively, supporting the actions and behavior of our mass surveillance military-industrial complex police state? How many do each of us know in our own communities that actively or passively support what's happening right now, being done in our name? Another headline, National Intelligence Director apologizes for lying to Congress. This headline goes back a way, but it's important to highlight because this is the sort of lies that are fed to us that the American population seems to want to forget. Clapper, the National Intelligence Director, lied to Congress about the NSA expansion and was exposed when the WikiLeaks information was put out. But how quickly we forget, how quickly the American population forgets, again, the WMD lies that we were fed over and over and over. While Scott Ritter, the former honorable Marine head inspector in Iraq, who stated over and over and over, there's nothing here. There was nothing there. And what happened to him? He was framed with some sort of personal allegations, dragged through the mud. That's what the system does to anyone who tries to tell the truth, or worse. I'll get to that later in this broadcast as well. Another headline from this last week, from torture to drone strikes, the disturbing legacy of Obama. We've covered some of that story already. Obama commutes the Manning sentence, as many have heard this last week, but what's the whole story? Obama prosecuted almost 3 times more whistleblowers than all other administrations combined. That's the real story. And how can we live in a country that prosecutes whistleblowers, people who are trying to, at incredible risk to themselves, trying to expose truths that the population needs to hear? And yet we have those who would claim to be patriotic who condemn the whistleblowers as somehow being tyrannical, when the whistleblowers themselves are the greatest example of patriotism we have. People like Kevin Shipp, who I'm honored to call my friend. People like John Carreyrou, Thomas Drake, incredible people. And if you look up their story, that's what patriotism is. It's the courage to tell the truth, exactly what Bradley Manning did, or Chelsea Manning, or whatever the case is. I'm sorry if I got that wrong, but we all know who Manning is. So, trying to be politically correct here, but Manning showed great courage, as did all the other whistleblowers I just mentioned. And what does our country do but prosecute them? And Obama lets one go as a political ploy while not even addressing the other long list of whistleblowers. Again, John Carreyrou, who exposed the illegal torture being performed by our country, and who's the only one to go to jail? The only one, John Carreyrou. Our completely corrupt government and corporate media has blamed whistleblowers for causing the deaths of U.S. assets, but not a shred of proof was ever offered to back up such claims. On the other hand, how many have died due to our own country's invasions, occupations, and destruction of countries that didn't do anything to us, with the exception of being reluctant to let the corporate military-industrial complex loot and pillage their country's resources. Is that what democracy and freedom is about? And how many countries have been invaded under the guise of democracy and freedom? All of this is coming to a head. It's important that people listening to this, if you think this is just some sort of reoccurring facts that will come and go and life will always be the same, it's not going to be the same much longer. The situations we face now are different than at any other time for many reasons. I'll cover more of that in this broadcast. We are in completely uncharted territory. But back to the hypocrisy, back to the false allegations against the whistleblowers of them causing U.S. assets to be killed or to die with no proof. How many people have died due to the illegal U.S. invasions and occupations and bombings, drone bombings, and so forth? And let's remember, again, the WMD that started the whole Iraq scenario. I've been over so many times, the Gulf of Tonkin, 60,000 of our sons and daughters dead. The reoccurring scenarios of a military-industrial complex that needs conflict to survive. How many Americans even care now? The horrifically maimed U.S. veterans, they care. The families of the U.S. military personnel that needlessly died in Iraq, they certainly care about what happened and why. And for all those, again, who blindly wave their flags and blindly support debacles like Iraq, convincing themselves that they're patriotic for their blind support, they're not patriotic. They're simply cowards that are only concerned about confirming their blind commitment to the mob mentality, to the herd mentality, the groupthink. Such individuals are only trying to fortify their own perceived security by conforming to the completely out-of-control police state. That's not courage. That's not patriotism. The might of the U.S. military does not make its actions moral. And how many of the blind patriots have actually contributed to organizations like DAV and VFW, Disabled American Veterans, Veterans of Foreign Wars? How many have worked as a volunteer rehabbing horribly injured Vietnam vets? I have. I've done all the above. There's much more to being patriotic than slapping a magnetic sticker on your bumper and putting a flag out in front of your home. So to my military brothers and sisters, I say this, as I have many times in the past, please, please wake up. Please open your eyes, educate yourselves on the facts, and do what's right. Stand for what's right, and don't blindly support the growing police state because that's your job. There's no honor in being a blind and unquestioning order follower. No honor there. Consider and remember this. Your own government is spraying highly toxic climate engineering elements on you and your families. Just like the unsuspecting soldiers were sprayed with Agent Orange in Vietnam. Just like the unsuspecting soldiers were exposed to highly toxic radioactive elements and depleted uranium in the Iraq War. All completely historically documented. Consider this: your own government is forcing mandatory highly toxic vaccinations on you and your children. And that's just a sample. All of those are just a sample. Consider what you see when you look in the mirror and what you're a part of. Please wake up. Please do the right thing. Changing gears back to the collapsing economic systems that must follow the collapsing biosphere. Turkey faces double-digit inflation due to crashing lira, their currency, as budget deficit hits record. Dominoes are starting to fall over the globe, and that will accelerate. The artificially propped up U.S. stock market that's pacified the population so far is not going to last much longer. It's a total, complete facade. Another headline. It's official. Puerto Rico government could collapse if no steps are taken. More dominoes falling. Another headline. Bankrupt U.S. retailer American Apparel starts layoffs. Doesn't sound like a good economy, does it? It's not. It's a snake eating its own tail. Another headline. Japan's core machinery orders fall precipitously. Signs are everywhere. Numbers on a stock market screen do not mean real wealth. It's an illusion. Another headline. Oil majors, car makers to push hydrogen technology to help cut emissions. That's a facade as well. The notion that some little improvement in the amount of pollution and destruction caused by industrialized society is going to make a difference at this point. It won't. It's an illusion. It's only designed to make people feel better. Same with renewable energy. I'm an advocate for solar. It's much better than fossil fuels. But let's consider that we have climate engineering programs consuming an unimaginable amount of hydrocarbon, producing an unimaginable amount of CO2 at altitude from the jet aircraft, spewing toxic elements into the sky, destroying the ozone layer, and blocking the sun. How much sense does it make to go on solar when you have programs designed to block the sun, to slow down the warming, while at the same time fueling the warming? How much sense does that make? And it's not just me losing solar power, by the way. I challenge anybody to look up the fact that some of the biggest solar voltaic plant in the world is producing about half the power it was expected to produce. Why? We know why. Another headline. China leads unprecedented drop in Asian crude production. Another headline. China's oil collapse is unintentionally helping OPEC. Production is dropping. Let's consider. At the start of the year 1900, one barrel of energy could produce about 100 more. Now one barrel of energy produces about 6 more barrels because recovering energy is much more energy intensive. It's heading towards a net loss. In the case of the tar sands in Canada, it's an energy net negative. It takes about 1.4 units of energy to produce 1 unit of energy for hydrocarbon. Why would you bother? Because they have an excess of one form of energy, natural gas, that they are converting to hydrocarbon to be burned in vehicles and other sources at a massive net loss and an unimaginably destructive effect on the environment. That's how desperate industrialized society is. Another headline. Water protectors arrested, tear gassed for peaceful prayer walk at DAPL site. No surprise again, the military-industrial complex trying to make an example out of anyone that dares to stand up against them. And that's why the water protector site is so very important. We're trying still to recover a sample there of the precipitation. If we do, we will absolutely analyze that sample at the state certified lab. We'll see what results we get back. Hopefully we'll get honest results back, because we can see the chemical nucleation going on in those sites on the radar. I posted articles about this for any who want to see at geoengineeringwatch.org. Satellite imagery of rain bands when all of the cold started after a record warm autumn. Look it up. I'm not asking anybody to believe me. Look it up. U.S. had record warm autumn. And as that changed, there was rain bands at 50 plus degrees migrating through Minnesota and then over Dakota that suddenly flashed out to frozen precipitation. Why? We know why. We have the patents for why. We have governments that have announced on the record, as I've stated so many times, chemically nucleating what should be rain into snow. Toxic snow, but they can chemically nucleate a snowstorm, and they're doing exactly that. And the temperatures do drop on the ground precipitously as this chemical nucleation endothermic reacting material starts to have its effect. That's what's happening in Dakota. They're in for a break today as the warmth rebounds back because the planet is warming. So we have record temperatures in many areas of the U.S., and on the globe officially. I'll get to that more in a few moments. Another headline. Affordable water in the U.S., a looming crisis. From that report, if water rates continue rising at projected amounts, the number of U.S. households unable to afford water could triple in 5 years to nearly 36%. Why is there less water on a warming world where the laws of physics say there should be more rain overall, not less? And I realize we're getting rain on the West Coast now, but I ask everybody to please jog your memory. How many years of drought do we just come through? And climate engineering is not a one-way door. Many different scenarios can be engineered in the climate, which means they can allow and even augment rain when they choose to. But should we give anyone the right to choose when it rains, where it rains, how much it rains, and how toxic that rain is? Does anyone have that right? We as a population have given our completely out of control military industrial complex that right by simply passively going along with whatever lies we're fed. That has to end. If we're to salvage anything of the planet, that has to end along with climate engineering. Another headline. Alien armyworms invade corn in drought-hit southern Africa. Africa has been hammered by climate modification for decades. Why do you think these countries allow U.S. occupation on their soil? We have U.S. boots on the ground in 156 countries. Gaddafi wanted to put an end to that. I'm not saying Gaddafi was a great guy, but he wanted to put an end to U.S. occupation in Africa. He wanted to stop using the global reserve currency of the U.S. dollar, which allows the empire to print as many dollars as they want. Private bankers that run our country, run our military, run our banks. That's why Gaddafi was taken out. So now we have Africa subjected to even more famine, and so much of it related to activities of the U.S. military-industrial complex, the Western power structure military-industrial complex. Much more to the story. As I've stated in previous shows, and I will state again now, every single Middle Eastern country that was on the list of countries to be toppled by the U.S. military, the list that was told to General Wesley Clark 1 week after 9/11, the plan was implemented. Every one of those countries experienced a once-in-1,000-year drought before being toppled. Is that a coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. And look up, if you don't think geoengineering or climate engineering can create drought, simply search it. Geoengineering creates drought, and find out how much data you can find. That acknowledgement comes from every scientific institution on the planet that studies geoengineering, and that's a lot of institutions. They acknowledge geoengineering will create drought. In fact, it is creating drought. On that note, another headline, UN warns of famine risk in Somalia amid worsening drought. Just went over that, didn't I? You can't have less rain on a warming planet without geoengineering. Another headline, European vegetables, quote, the perfect storm raises prices. Rain can also be augmented. Depends on the particulate size, depends on many factors, but climate engineering is wreaking havoc in the hydrological cycle all over the planet, and you can't have a legitimate discussion about the climate without discussing climate engineering first and foremost. So all the environmental groups, all the anti-global warming groups, please stop your hypocrisy and face the full truth. Don't pretend like you're telling the truth when you're not. You can't be an environmentalist honestly, and you can't be an anti-global warming activist honestly if you don't speak first and foremost of climate engineering. That's not to say there's not other forms of damage to the climate, as we have unfortunately so many in the anti-geoengineering community trying to pretend that climate engineering is the only source of damage to the climate. Also not true. Let's all face the full truth and perhaps we can make some progress. What exactly is globalization, and how do the trade agreements fit into the globalization scenario? And what does it all mean in reality? And here's an analogy. The various criminal cabals in many industrialized countries know full well the biosphere is imploding. They know full well that they're all sinking with the ship, as is their power and their perceived security. To globalize is their attempt to all hold on to each other, as if that will somehow stop the sinking ship, or as if that will somehow stop them from going down with it. And consider this. If a group of people are drowning and they all cling to each other, would their clinging to each other save them? Grinding up nature and the people of the planet for a profit is the game of the globalists. But all such scenarios are temporary, and this one is in its death throes. Even now, it's unfolding rapidly. The state of the overall biosphere and the planet's ability to support life is the bottom line. So where are we on that front? Here's another headline. 2016 sets, quote, terrifying milestone as Earth's warmest year on record. From that report, last year's average global surface temperature eclipsed previous highs set in 2014, and again in 2015, record warm 2014, broken in 2015, and now broken again. From the report. In fact, both NASA and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, found that 2016's temperatures exceeds all previous years since instrument records began 137 years ago, and that human-caused global warming was responsible for a majority of the planetary fever. Now, For those who think that NASA and NOAA are falsely reporting data, you're right. You're right. It's actually far worse than what they're reporting. Far worse. And we check temperatures on the ground in many locations, and what we see consistently is the actual temperature on the ground is significantly warmer than what's being reported, hiding the problem. And that's what the military-industrial fossil fuel complex does, hide the problem. Pacify the population, make them think it's okay to do what we're doing, that we can survive as a species if we keep doing what we're doing. It's not okay. We won't survive. And as dire as this headline might sound, it's actually far worse. And we have to get over our ideology, as I've stated so many shows, our disdain for Al Gore. I don't like Al Gore. Carbon credits are a total scam. Reality is still reality. Final sentence from that report. Scientists are now warning that we should expect more such milestones in the years ahead, along with worsening climate impacts as global warming progresses. Now, this report is completely illegitimate in this sense, not mentioning in any way, shape, or form the ongoing climate engineering assault. And that's where all these agencies are so criminally deceptive in their omission of the single biggest climate disrupting factor of all. And please don't misunderstand what I just said. Not the only factor, the single largest. Not bigger than all the other factors combined, not at all. But in the sense of disrupting and further fueling an already very horrific climate situation, climate engineering is that single biggest factor. So for NASA, for NOAA, for the National Weather Service, they are all lying by omission, by not mentioning climate engineering. And we must remember the illegal federal gag order on all National Weather Service and NOAA employees. It's up to us, the population, to get off the bench, get on the playing field, help to share credible data, help to force our local media and all media to start telling the truth, because they are not telling the truth. And I'll get to that in very clear form in a few moments, just how much they're lying. From someone who tried to tell the truth, a very renowned, honorable international journalist who's now dead. I'll get to that story in a moment, but it's up to us, the population, to help sound the alarm. It's up to all of us. Don't think someone else is moving the ball to field. You're needed. If you're listening to this broadcast, you're needed as well. Another headline. Most of the coral in Japan's largest coral reef is dead, and the rest are dying. We don't hear about that here because our media is given a script and our so-called journalists are nothing more than actors, paid actors to spread disinformation, deception, omission. That's what they are. So we don't hear stories like this. From that report, Japan has reported an alarming rate of death in its largest coral reef. And for those that claim this is all Fukushima, that is not true. The water temperatures are the biggest factor, and that's not to downplay Fukushima. Fukushima may kill us all if it continues and other factors don't kill us first. There's no end in sight for Fukushima, no technology to fix it, horrific situation, another situation we're not being told about. Continuing from this coral die-off report, the Ministry of the Environment, says that 70% of the coral off Okinawa is dead. 91.4% of the coral in the largest reef in the northern hemisphere has also been mortally bleached due to warming waters, meaning those corals also are very vulnerable and very likely to die. Happening all over the globe, barrier reef, all but exterminated now. Other reefs dying. The oceans are dying. The oceans die, we die. The trees die, we die. The ozone layer is destroyed, we die. The walls are closing in from every direction, and so many roads lead back to climate engineering as a major contributing factor. Not the only factor, I stress again and again and again. The atmosphere doesn't know whether a particulate came from the back of an aircraft that's climate engineering or from a smokestack. It doesn't know the difference. We all need to face the full truth. And if we stopped climate engineering tomorrow, we have massive challenges to face from industrialized society. Massive, unimaginable. And we have created damage that can't just be turned off. We can't just hit the reset button. If industrialized society was stopped tomorrow in all forms, we've already gone through the guardrail. The world as we know it is not coming back in any time frame that matters, but perhaps we can still salvage some of the planet's life support systems. Isn't that worth fighting for? In regard to die-off, recent headline from last week, a record number of false killer whales, quote, mysteriously strand themselves in Florida. Record number, very rare species. The fish die-offs continue, and it's not normal. For those people who think this is normal or it's always happened and we just never heard about it, that's not reality. Wake up and face reality, please, while we have something left to salvage. Plant, animal, and insect species extinction rate today, approaching 300 per day, per day. Many of these species haven't even been identified, and they're being lost. Those are the accepted scientific figures today. That's 1.5% of normal. Nothing normal about that. Now, back to the climate, back to the biosphere, because ultimately that's all that matters. Any notion of economic growth on a perpetually on a finite planet with finite resources is insane. And we must ask ourselves, what matters more? Economic growth or a planet that supports life? What matters more? And economic growth will end anyway, extremely soon. It's a false notion right now. The environmental destruction alone, for example, in China, the amount of GDP being expended on coping with environmental destruction alone far exceeds the growth rate. So how is that growth? How is that actually growth? No, it's smoke, mirrors, and illusion. But here's some extremely sobering data that was issued this week from the frontline Arctic scientists. Listen closely. This is extremely important. Although the AMEG group, the Arctic Methane Emergency Group, does give accurate data, and their data has held up. Their predictions have held up over the last decade. I've looked at it, studied it, part of my research over the last decade, and I compare it with many other data sources, and they are accurate with their assessments. The AMEG group, unfortunately, will not admit to climate engineering and actually calls for climate engineering as some sort of mitigation. That's where their information must be abandoned. But their frontline data on the predictions of how severely our biosphere is imploding is correct, or has been accurate. And here's from this week, from the frontline Arctic scientists, when also taking into account further elements that could cause warming, meaning feedback loops. There's about 50 feedback loops in swing right now. I've described those in former shows. That's when certain mechanisms are triggered. For example, forest fires burn. Climate engineering is connected to that. Soot settles on the ice, makes the ice dark, melts the ice faster, thaws the ocean ice quicker, heats the ocean faster. That heats methane, which migrates to the atmosphere, which heats even more. All these feed on each other. Given all this, from this report again, quote, from the frontline Arctic scientists this week, a potential warming of 10 degrees C or 18 degrees Fahrenheit could eventuate by the year 2016, i.e., within about 9 years from now, as discussed at the extinction page. If this occurs, and this group has been accurate with their predictions so far, largely accurate, that's it. Game over. And not in 2026, much sooner than that. The warming right now is occurring at an unimaginable pace. That's why we have the radical weather whiplash happening everywhere. Because the only thing cooling anything down is climate engineering and chemical ice nucleation. They're blotting out the sun. How many people see blue sky anymore? How many people? How is the weather exactly? Remember, not long ago we had snow at the valley floor in Redding while it was raining 14,000 feet up in the Sierras. Is there anything normal about that? Is it normal to have 50-degree fluctuations in temperatures from one day to the next? And we see that constantly now, because the only thing cooling anything down is when the climate engineers dump massive, unimaginable amounts of chemical ice nucleating elements on storms, rain cells. That creates a cold, dense layer of air that hits the ground. They can radically freeze temperatures. That's exactly what they're doing. And we've captured this again and again with satellite image loops where the bands of moisture can be seen flashing out to snow for no apparent reason. We have the patents. We have other governments stating on the record they're doing this. Chinese government. I've stated over and over. So for those who still don't believe the planet's warming, wake up. Wake up. Forget Al Gore and wake up and look at frontline film footage. Don't believe me. Don't believe any official agency. You can't have ice disappearing around the globe if the planet's getting colder. You can't have methane thawing and releasing all over the globe if the planet's getting colder. You don't have 500 and 600% more forest fires if the planet's getting colder, and climate engineering is making all of it worse, not better. And all of this breaks my heart. It absolutely breaks my heart. I've grown up in the forest, in the woods. I've I've seen the demise firsthand. I've seen the web of life here break down at an unimaginable pace. And the last time I fished in a remote place on my property and where it hits the Pitt River, there's no access to anybody else there when the lake is low. And I had an eagle that was circling near me and landed near me. Not normal behavior for an eagle to land in a tree very close to a human being. And clearly he was hungry. And why is he hungry? Because there's no more trout. When the Pitt River gets low, the water's too warm. All the trout have died or migrated to deeper water. A former pristine trout river. Nothing. And I know there's nothing there because I've dove through the Pitt River in the places where trout would be, through the rapids, underneath the big drop-offs. I've been diving my whole life, and I looked. I couldn't find any. Couldn't find any crayfish either. Only bass. And bass can survive in a horse trough. That's all that's left there. And nobody seems to care. And this eagle was hungry because trout come to the surface where eagles can catch them. Bass typically don't. And I caught a fish, a bass, and left it for that eagle. And it broke my heart. Absolutely broke my heart. As I got a safe distance away, he came down and took it because he was starving. And that sort of scenario absolutely breaks my heart because we're supposed to be a part of the web of life, not against it. Man's war against nature is a war against himself. And when will we realize that as a species? When will we realize you can't grind nature up into profit and expect to survive? We can't survive. And my heart bled for that eagle. Absolutely bled for him. I don't know if he's survived now, but our wildlife is dying. And the latest figures estimate that we will have lost fully 2/3 of Earth's wildlife by 2020. And that has occurred in the last 40 years. 2/3. And that rate is expanding exponentially. I want to go over a report about a very courageous journalist, which there is so few of. We don't have any locally here that I know of. We have journalists that have done everything they can to hide the truth, mask the truth, hide behind their ideology, their preconception, their false patriotism. But here's a story of a real journalist. Here's a headline. Europe's courageous journalism voice has passed away. This report was written by Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Listen to who he is. He was a former cabinet member for the Reagan administration. So know who this person is. He's a very respected, renowned, former Reagan cabinet official. Before I get to the report from Dr. Roberts, I want to read what this honorable journalist, Dr. Udo Ulfkoet, stated on television before his recent untimely death. He stated these facts, quote, "I've been a journalist for about 25 years, and I was educated to lie, to betray, and not to tell the truth to the public." Sound familiar? Udo continues, "But seeing right now within the last months how the German and American media tries to bring war to the people in Europe, to bring war to Russia, this is a point of no return. And I am going to stand up and say it is not right what I have done in the past to manipulate people, to make propaganda against Russia. And it is not right when my colleagues do and what I have done in the past, because they are bribed to betray the people, not only in Germany, all over Europe and America. That's what journalism is today, with few exceptions. Corporate journalism is simply to do the bidding of those in power." Now, continuing with the report from Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former Reagan cabinet official. "Europe's courageous journalism voice has passed away. On January 13th, Udo Ulfkoet died, reportedly of a heart attack." Again, how suspicious might that be, given he just spoke out and was going to blow a lot more whistles. Ulfkoet had been an editor at the Frankfurter newspaper. It's a very difficult to pronounce title. I'm sorry. I'm not going to bite that one off. He published a courageous book in which he said that the CIA had a hand on every significant journalist in Europe, which gave Washington control over European opinion and reduced knowledge of and opposition to Washington's control over European heads of state. Essentially, there are no European governments independent of Washington. Courage, once plentiful in Europe, is today hard to find. Charles de Gaulle was the last head of a major European state that maintained independence from Washington. Today, we find independence in Marine Le Pen and perhaps the president of Hungary. But for the most part, West and Eastern European heads of state are Washington's vassals committed to Washington's wars. We all know that's true. There's no denying what Dr. Roberts just said. Continuing from his report, this, of course, includes the Chancellor of Germany, the President of France, and the British Prime Minister, these once powerful countries of Europe, whose dominance comprises most of Western history from the fall of Rome to the Second World War, are today American puppet states. Under Yeltsin, Russia herself had succumbed to American overlordship, but under Vladimir Putin, Russia regained her independence and is today able to constrain Washington's unilateralism in some areas of the world, such as Syria and Crimea. Let's visit that for a moment before I continue. For those who blindly wave their flags and don't look at the facts of what has happened recently in Ukraine, for example, a beautiful city which I've been to. What happened? The toppling of that country was fomented and fueled by Western powers. John McCain was there, filmed, unloading resources to help pay activists to come to that city and help to burn it and pillage it. How would we feel? What if Putin came to one of our border countries and was helping to pay militant activists to pillage and plunder and cause chaos? What would we do? What would we do if our special forces, or our Iran's special forces soldiers, were picked up in a raft on Catalina Island? What would we do? Would we release them in 24 hours? The hypocrisy here is mind-numbing, absolutely mind-numbing. And the demonization of Russia goes back to what I stated in the beginning of this show. Any country that refuses to go along with the dictates of the empire, the Western power structure, is dealt with harshly. Syria, why? Why the Syria toppling? In Ukraine, it was farmland. It's resources there. Joe Biden's son, I've been over this before in previous shows, Joe Biden's son immediately put on the board that governs the use of the petroleum resources in Ukraine. In Syria, the Syrian president, Bashar, refused a pipeline that Western power structure wanted. That country was taken out. Libya, Gaddafi was going to disconnect from the dollar as a currency, did not want U.S. occupation in Africa, taken out. Saddam Hussein was going to disconnect from the dollar as a global reserve currency, taken out. Again and again, I could go on and on and on, connect the dots. It's not about freedom and democracy, no. It's about power and control. It always has been. Continuing from, and by the way, in Crimea, the Crimeans voted to stay in Russia. And I'm not condoning Russia, by the way. My wife is from Lithuania. She was occupied by the Russian government. Incredibly tyrannical then. There's no question about those facts. Brutal history involving Russia. But let's take every circumstance in a case-by-case situation. Who is the oppressor now? Who is the oppressor now? Who is causing the carnage now? And those facts are clear. Continuing from Dr. Roberts' report, in the Far East, Washington's Japanese vassal is now checked by the rise of China, a country like Russia that has first-class leadership that cannot be found anywhere in the West. Doesn't mean China doesn't do an awful lot wrong as well. They obviously do. But the provocateur at this point is the United States, NATO, and Western power structure. That is absolutely the case. Is Russia putting their missiles on our border in Canada and Mexico? Are they? No, we're doing that to them. I'm trying to avoid World War III here. And if Trump does one thing good, I hope he does that. I hope he follows through with that. Time will tell. Continuing from the report from Dr. Roberts, former Reagan cabinet official, continuing from his report, The Western world has proven itself incapable of producing real political leadership. This failure results from centuries of Western dominance that has so corrupted Western political processes that the entirety of the West is subservient to an oligarchy that has succeeded in concentrating all income and wealth gains in a few hands. These few have enormous power, as we see in the CIA's open and blatant assault on the president-elect, which is true. This is warring fractions of power. The fossil fuel industrial complex seems to be completely in Trump's court. Perhaps we are seeing a real fracturing of the power structure. Perhaps it's all part of the facade. Time will tell. Continuing from the report from Dr. Roberts, the danger that life on Earth faces is that Washington assumes, based on the historical rule of the West, that it is normal for this rule over the world to continue. However, Russia and China do not agree. Either country is sufficient to stand up to Washington, and together they overmatch Washington's military capability. I'm not so sure that part is accurate. The U.S. spends more than the next 7 to 10 countries combined, depending on the figures that are looked at. We have a massive military machine. That's what this country is built on, the ability to stomp and squash any country that refuses to go along. That's what empires are. But I think we all know, and it's certainly safe to say, that if World War III erupts, we're done. We're all done. And when I refer to climate engineering being the greatest and most immediate threat we face, because climate engineering is not just climate engineering, it's weather warfare, it's biological warfare, it's planetary omnicide. And it's the greatest and most immediate threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm. And that's where we're headed, nuclear cataclysm right now. The walls are closing in from every direction. So the report from Dr. Roberts is valid, accurate, and needs to be considered. Final paragraph from this report. Due to the arrogance that resides in Washington, the would-be overlords of the world are not aware that Russia and China are not Iraq and Libya. Those who wage war in Washington have never been in the front line, have they? Never, with almost no exceptions. Final statement from this report. If the moronic idiots, this is Dr. Roberts' statements, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former Reagan cabinet official, if the moronic idiots that rule Washington bring us into the war with these powers, the United States will disappear from history along with the rest of the world. That's a mathematical fact. So let's leave with this. Will this be our final near-term destination? Total planetary omnicide? This is exactly where our species is currently heading. And this is exactly where we will all very soon end up if there is not a real, tangible, an appropriate survival reaction from all those in the population that claim to care about their children and the futures of their children and themselves. Time is not on our side. Our planet's ability to support life is being systematically decimated by countless forms of anthropogenic activity. But the single greatest threat of all, the most immediate and dire danger we face, as I stated earlier, short of nuclear cataclysm, is the ongoing, highly toxic atmospheric assault known as geoengineering or solar radiation management. If you care about educating yourself on this most dire issue, as I stated earlier in this broadcast, please pick up a DVD for free from Orchard Nutrition and educate yourself. See statements from former government scientists like Forest Service biologists, fish and game biologists, Union of Concerned Scientists, former pilots. Pick up a DVD from Orchard if you live in the Reading area and find out what you don't know. And I ask this, how long can you hold your breath? If every breath we take is laden with the toxic elements like aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, lead, copper from climate engineering programs and other chemicals and elements that we can't even identify yet, if our breath is laden with these elements, how long will we be here? How much longer can our health hold out? If we can expose climate engineering, we can expose the dark powers all over the globe that are behind it and so many other crimes of power. We must all ask ourselves, why are we here? What's the point? What's our purpose? if not to commit ourselves to the fight for the greater good at this most critical time in the history of the human race, then why? Stand up, educate yourself on the verifiable facts, and make your voice heard while it still matters. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.